Next on BYUSN, we're on to Cincinnati. But what exactly awaits? 2 days away from a massive showdown for BYU football, what are the biggest concerns for the Cougars on the road? BYU football radio analyst Hans Olsen joins the show to preview Saturday's contest. How does he expect BYU to handle the Cincy trip with so much at stake?
Well, BYU women's teams had multiple big-time showings yesterday. We'll break down the best from volleyball and hoops. And Damon Thompson and Tavon Kitchen of BYU Men's Cross Country are with us to preview Saturday's national championship race. They're the defending national champs.
On that note, welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Thursday, November 20th, I am Spencer Linton. He is your weekend party planner, Dave McCann.
I think you know how I feel about Thursdays. They're the start of everything cool and good. You leave for Cincinnati today. The football team leaves for Cincinnati. On Thursdays, I write game day as we get ready. Then the soccer teams in California ready for the NCAA tournament. We've got cross country ready to go defend their national championships.
It's a great weekend.
It all starts on Thursday. Thursday to me is like when you go to a restaurant and you make your order, right? And you order a steak and you know it's coming. And then they bring out the mozzarella sticks. That's Thursday.
Okay.
Or you're just like, oh, sweet. Here's
the appetizer.
And the marinara sauce. You know what's coming, right? But you got to wait for that. But then they bring out that stuff. So Thursday is mozzarella. That's mozzarella stick day.
Okay, I'm always on board for a food analogy.
Yeah.
So you've set the proper tone.
We can relate to that. So.
Again, you're the party planner. You need good food to have a good party,
and
Dave.
It starts with the good stuff. And so here we are on Thursday with such a big next few days for Cougar Nation. It's just awesome.
Party on, my friends. All rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
More BYU wins, the bigger the games become.
No one allows fewer sacks than Cincinnati. But BYU's been getting to the quarterback of late.
The key is to just smack them off the line of scrimmage.
BYU's red zone defense is a great match for their red zone offense.
We're in it. Week 13, we're here. Let's go.
On to Cincinnati for BYU football. The 11th-ranked Cougars working to potentially clinch a spot in the Big 12 championship game this weekend. A few scenarios would allow for that to happen. In order to do that, obviously, BYU needs to handle their own business and take care of Cincinnati in the season's most important game, not just because it's next, Dave, but yeah, because it feels like everything rides on what happens in Cincy this Saturday. So let's break it down from a concern standpoint and step back and look at what exactly BYU is going to face. So, Dave, what are your biggest concerns for the Cougars as they hit up Cincinnati?
I think you got to go right to the line of scrimmage. On both sides, the offensive line, the defensive line. But that's the trench. That's where battles are won. And that's the area I'll be watching on Saturday. When it comes to running the football, they're both pretty similar, right? Except L.J. Martin leads the Big 12 with 91 yards per game. When they come to protecting the quarterback, okay, they've both had highs and lows, but BYU has been a little more solid. But as you look at the numbers in comparison with the battle of the running attacks, Cincinnati loves the big play. They've had some. BYU is a little more methodical as how they get down the field. But in stopping the run, BYU's a little better. 41 in run defense, Cincinnati's 87th. Waylon Lapuaho's out. That's a big setback for that offensive line, but they've shown depth this year. So as we jump back and forth from the offensive line, defensive line, we stay there on the line of scrimmage, and that's where BYU dominated TCU. It's where they dominated Iowa State once they got out of that first quarter. It's where they struggled against Texas Tech. So the line of scrimmage, I believe, is where this battle will be won. What do you think?
Well, certainly the line of scrimmage will play a huge role in BYU's ability to handle my number one concern, which is stopping a true dual threat quarterback. Brendan Sorsby and Cincinnati, mind you, have faced three of the top six pass efficiency defenses in the country this season, have not fared well, but he's been very good against everybody else. So let's kind of compare and contrast those two scenarios and remind everyone that BYU is ranked number 13 in the country in pass efficiency defense, one of the better teams in all the land. So here's Sorsby against Arizona, Nebraska, and Utah. 15 of 28 against the Wildcats, 13 of 25 against Nebraska for only 69 yards. Did throw for 221 against Utah, but 11 of 33. His efficiency numbers way down there. So you combine those, Dave, that's 444 total yards passing in three games against the three best pass defenses he's faced. Two TDs, four interceptions, 45.3% completion percentage. In the other games, he's been can't miss, 67%. 1,774 yards, 20 touchdowns, no interceptions.
There's got to be something said about sitting in the pocket and throwing and running for your life, which Arizona had him on the run, Utah had him on the run, Nebraska had him on the run, and BYU's defense appears capable of having him on the run, and then his game changes.
So can BYU put together a defensive game plan that is more like what Nebraska, Utah, and Arizona did compared to what Sorsby has done to exploit the other offenses he has seen? And he does have great escapability. Yeah. BYU at times this season has given up some big plays in the run game. Going back to Caden Salter at Colorado, he got loose very early in the game. BYU made adjustments, end up winning that game. But I just think that BYU at this point of the season, Dave, is very disciplined in their gap assignments, in their contain on the outside. You can't let him scramble around forever back there. That to me is number one concern. Can you contain the dual threat quarterback? Can you make him one dimensional where he feels like he has to rely on his arm a little bit more? Because if Sorsby starts to feel like he has to win the game with his arm, I am inclined to believe that is a massive advantage for BYU.
Yeah, and look at the prep BYU's gone through the last 2 weeks. Had Baron Morton, Texas Tech, and then Josh Hoover last week. Josh Hoover's a good quarterback, you know, second best in the Big 12.
And BYU was so good at taking away his first read. It threw Josh Hoover off his game in a major way. Can they disrupt Brendan Sorsby in a similar fashion?
I like what they did against Hoover, and I think so, to answer your question there, because, you know, Josh threw 50 times the week before against Iowa State, and he came here and threw 23 times because BYU got him off the field and kept him off the field. And then when they had the ball, they stayed on the field with long drives and things that Aaron Roderick was able to do. But this Hoover is outstanding. We know that. We've seen him. He lit up BYU as a freshman a couple of years ago, but he did not light up BYU on Saturday night. I think that's a great prep for Sorsby, because Hoover's mobile. He's got a great arm. He sees downfield. He's got excellent stats. He's got big targets to throw to. None of that mattered because BYU got in his face. They dominated the line of scrimmage, and they lured him into a couple of mistakes. And mistakes mean everything in big games.
No question. And we understand the road dynamic a little bit. We'll talk about that in a moment. Cincinnati is a big play, quick strike offense, Dave. It feels like there will inevitably be a few of those plays just because Cincinnati goes to that well so much. They like to take deep shots a bunch. You would think that just the percentages will play out that there will be a few. Can BYU limit those and then create the turnovers that you're talking about and just keep Cincinnati collectively on their heels? They like to move quick, but an offense likes to move quickly. If they go three and out, that's big problems for a team like Cincinnati.
We've seen it on our own end over the years. Three and outs are deadly. My second concern tags with what you're talking about in turnovers and creating mistakes. Get Cincinnati to make some mistakes. BYU's 20-3 in their last 23 games. Of those three losses, they lost a turnover margin to Kansas, they lost a turnover margin to Arizona State, and they lost a turnover margin to Texas.
You don't say! How about that?
Take that stat away, and maybe we're 23-0, and maybe we're in the top 10 in the committee's eyes, but instead we're at 11. But 36 interceptions in the last two seasons. That's the most in the NCAA. Kalani's 48-7, his team's with a positive turnover margin. Go into Cincinnati, get pressure on the quarterback, and we've seen pressure creating mistakes and turnovers. And this one here, Satuala made a phenomenal catch, but Hoover was on the run, under pressure, out of the pocket. Here's one, Fifita, under pressure, chucks it up. Guys just chuck stuff up sometimes under pressure, and then you just got to be in the right spot at the right time to jump on mistakes. And Trey Alexander getting this one here. This has just got to keep happening, and this is a BYU defense that's trending that way. And so can they win the turnover margin? It seems like they could.
As we pointed out, Brandon Sorsby has thrown 4 interceptions this season. All 4 of those interceptions have come against the 3 toughest pass efficiency defenses that he has matched up against. BYU would be the 4th toughest pass efficiency defense. Can the Cougars create that type of turnover in a game like this? As we've said multiple times now, it's so very important.
Hey, and the Bearcats don't intercept. They've got 2 all year. That's good news for Bear Bachmeier, who doesn't throw many picks. I like that number. But then on the other side, BYU 14 on the season. They just go get it. I talked to Evan Johnson, who will be on our pregame show in our feature on Saturday. He said, we just go get the ball. That's how the defense feels.
Attacking,
and that's how you want a defense to
mentality.
Feel.
Mentality, yes. Well, BYU will have to deal with, from a personnel standpoint, some added bonuses for Cincinnati because the Bearcats get a couple of players back, led by their running back, Evan Pryor, who has run for 478 yards and 3 touchdowns, did not play against Utah, did not play against Arizona. Obviously, that doesn't help Cincinnati and their run attack with Sorsby and company. Tobby Walker is really good, too. 652 yards. He's averaging 6 yards a carry, 4 touchdowns. Pryor averages 7.2 yards per carry. So these guys are more than capable of those big, explosive plays, Dave. And, I mean, that's not it. For Cincinnati, they also get a critical receiver back in Caleb Goody, who missed the Arizona game, 20 catches, 380 yards. He's averaging 19 yards a catch. So there are some weapons that are now available for Cincinnati against BYU that haven't been there in the past couple of games. How do the Cougars respond to some more talent back on the field? It's not a huge concern, but it is still somewhat of a concern that now BYU's got more to handle and more to deal with. If I could make a comparison, it feels like Evan Pryor, he's not quite LJ Martin status, but he's somewhere in between, from a BYU perspective, LJ Martin and Sione Moa in terms of this team's importance. He's very, very capable and good. And once again, it just takes a little seam for either Walker or Pryor to explode and make something big time happen.
Here's the thing. It's the Big 12. Everybody's got guys. Every team's got guys. Central Florida, when they come here and play on the frozen tundra in a couple weeks, they have guys. They're all capable of winning games, as we see each week on the scoreboard. No one's just efficient. Here comes Cincinnati. They get some guys back. BYU's healthier and getting healthier. LJ has shown he's gotten healthier each week. And now a much more healthy LJ than even last week when he had a good game. Bodes well for BYU, and Cincinnati's got a freak about that a little bit. But, this is championship time, right? You put the best chips on the table and see what happens. BYU just has to stop whoever they throw out there. And then Cincinnati's got the same thing. An area of concern for BYU is scoring in the red zone on the road, right? Field goals rarely win on the road. Sometimes you can kick field goals at home, like Texas Tech kicked 5. That was a big deal in their win against BYU. But on the road, you got to score touchdowns. And when BYU gets inside their opponent's 20-yard line, the red zone, a blue zone, which we like to call it, they score touchdowns. They're ranked 71st in the country in their touchdown percentage. Cincinnati's quite better at 16th. In the country, but BYU's defense is better than Cincinnati's in preventing touchdowns. Cougar opponents have driven inside the 20 37 times this year, and they've only scored 14 touchdowns.
Wild.
BYU's allowed 3 touchdowns total in the last 10 quarters. Second half at Iowa State, Texas Tech, and TCU.
And those aren't slouch opponents
Not at
either.
All. I don't think the committee reads, I don't know if they know that fact, but that's why we're saying it, because we know they all watch this show, or they should. But BYU's defense has been locked down the last 2.5 games, and it's hard to get in the end zone against them. BYU's key on Saturday, and my concern is, get into the end zone when you're inside the 20. Finish drives like you did against the Horned Frogs.
Can BYU win that critical battle, as Dave pointed out? Okay, my final concern. We've each listed a couple. Dave just gave his 3rd. Here's my number 3 concern. It is always difficult to win on the road. But what is Cincinnati's home field advantage right now? They feel like they are down. The wind is a little bit out of the sails. This is a rallying cry, circle the wagons type game for Cincinnati if they have any hope of trying to sneak into Arlington and find a back door to get into the Big 12 championship game. They have to beat BYU. Tall task, no doubt. BYU has to figure out a way to take the momentum they built against TCU and move that onto the road. BYU has encountered a lot of drama on the road this season.
Have.
It has been, more often than not, the cardiac Cougs, Dave. You think about what BYU had to do at Colorado, trailed in the fourth quarter, rally, win that game by three, trailed by 10 in the fourth quarter against a good Arizona team, rally, get it to overtime, eventually win in double overtime. They were down 17-7 at Iowa State, with Iowa State driving to potentially go up 24-7 in the first half. BYU rallies again, win that game by 14. And then, of course, the letdown eventually at then number 8 Texas Tech, who is now number 5. It's just difficult to win road games. BYU, to their credit, 9-2 on the road in the last two seasons. That's an unbelievable number. Can they do it again? And pardon the phrase, kick an opponent while they're down and keep them down. I'm inclined to believe that there will be some real stress and, again, real drama here.
Yeah.
But does BYU have enough answers to do it again?
My interpretation of that is start fast. Think about it. A 14-0 BYU lead on the road in that environment with a team and a fan base that's down as compared to a 14-0 Cincinnati lead in that same scenario.
BYU started fast against Arizona, but that was a weird rain game. It was almost like the rain
there was the pause.
Was the best thing that happened to Arizona.
Yeah, and that fake punt attempt. Those two things were the best things that happened to Arizona.
So can BYU start fast and maintain that momentum like they did against TCU and have an East Carolina-type game? I'm not asking BYU to win by 21 like they did against ECU, who was 7-3 and still in the running potentially to be the group of six entrant into the college football playoff, which is wild. But can they start fast? It's so important on the road.
Yeah.
You can't.
It's going
to be. It just don't get down double digits again on the road and have to rally again. There's just, how much can BYU do? How much do they have left in the tank in that capacity?
Yeah, think of our hearts, you know, as fans. You know, there's no reason to drag us through that. Just take care of business. This team looks business-oriented coming out of TCU.
Our question of the day, what's your biggest concern for BYU football heading into Saturday's game at Cincinnati? Dave, start us off with the first post.
Rise and Shout says limiting big plays. Cincinnati ranks first in the Big 12 and fifth nationally in yards per play. Evan Pryor's probable, another weapon that BYU will have to be prepared for. Mm. But limiting big plays.
Okay. That one from at PNW Coug. This one from at BYU Blue 1984 says BYU's running game, we need it clicking to blow this open. Can BYU establish the run? It looked like LJ Martin was feeling better. He looked like he was running more healthy, more confidently.
Ran 21 times.
Against TCU. TCU had a good rush defense.
Yeah.
I know Texas Tech's rush defense is on another level, so that certainly plays into it. But can BYU establish the run against Cincinnati like they did, at least in some capacity, TCU?
I love the passes out of the backfield to LJ. Three or four of them against
Cincinnati. That has become a more prominent feature of Aaron Roderick's offense.
Get him out there. Get him in space and let him do his thing.
And he does that. Makes one move and goes. Yeah. That has been a benefit for BYU. Weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram to join that conversation.
All right. What'd you learn about women's basketball last night? They go on the road. They beat Montana by one. Their star player, Delaney Gibb, didn't play because she's banged up.
Yeah, how about that? Delaney Gibb, if you're wondering, I've been told officially lower leg injury. She is day-to-day. They expect her to be back soon. And this is probably a precautionary thing to hold her out against Montana just so she can get ready for some of those bigger games that are happening at the end of the month. But this is a culture win, 100%, Dave, under Lee Kamard. A rallying cry, galvanizing game for this team. Mariah Hudgens, after sitting out last year with an injury, was instrumental. 23 points to lead BYU. Ari Mackey-Williams off, two ACL injuries in back-to-back seasons. We documented that she hadn't played in 960-plus days. She had gone that long between Division I games. She hit massive shots in this game. Such a culture. When you're down five with under a minute to go and you win 70-69, like this is the game you point back at and say, we did that, and we can do it again.
I love Hudgens' quiet transfer, right, coming from Santa Clara. Quiet because she got hurt and was gone last season. Saw her value last night in the transfer. Gibb out, she scores 23. That can be a very nice tandem moving forward. Plus, she's older, she's got strength, she's got leadership. That's big. And so we finally saw Mariah Hudgens last night. This is why she transferred here. This is why BYU wanted her here. And so it was good to see her get 23 and make a difference in a game.
Lee Kamard and the Cougars, 5-0. And obviously, we send our best to Delaney Gibb. Hope she's healthy and back in the lineup very soon.
All right, Sully Davis broke the BYU freshman rally scoring era record for kills in a season.
She's unbelievable.
Last night. Did it last night against Arizona. How important has she been to this volleyball team?
Let me make a comparison that my football friends will understand wholeheartedly. Sully Davis is to BYU volleyball like Bear Bachmeyer is to BYU football. She is that important. She has been the MVP of this team. And that's saying something because Claire Little Chambers was BYU's best player coming into the season, preseason Big 12 player of the year, and BYU's picked to win the conference. They're obviously not doing that, but they have dealt with a rash of injuries, Dave. So her role has been increased and very important. She's as important to this team as Bear Bachmeyer is to BYU football. They rely on her that much. And for her to deliver this way, gosh, it's hard not to be excited about what the future of BYU volleyball holds.
Yeah, and with her and Bauer young and with a big future ahead, big things ahead for this young volleyball team. But Davis is sensational. She's the Jane Hedegren of cross country. Throw her that in. Throw Kihei Akina from golf. She's that.
These fabulous freshmen. Yeah.
And AJ. Let's not leave him off the list. She's what AJ is to the basketball team, to the volleyball team. This is a unique crop of young athletes we got here.
Great stuff. Freshman phenoms all over campus.
If you want more from BYU Sports Nation, our content is always waiting for you on the BYU Sports Nation YouTube channel. Our interviews, trending topics, much more. You can subscribe and watch on demand anytime you want.
After the break, BYU football radio analyst Hans Olsen details his biggest concerns for BYU football against Cincinnati and the keys to slow down Brendan Sorsby and the Bearcats offense. What does he think of the College Football Playoff Committee, too? This is BYUSN. BYU is the favorite against Cincinnati. They've won the last two that Fox Big Noon Kickoff has been in attendance.
Be first in the turnover margin, take a lead into halftime. Just be the way you were against TCU.
The Cougars continue to win, and they win the Big 12 title. They are in the playoff.
They got to get there, okay? We're not looking past Cincinnati or UCF.
Go on, send the message in Cincinnati. Send a message. We are live in Studio B with your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton. He is the always dashing Dave McCann. And joining us now is one of our good friends, longtime BYU football connoisseur, BYU football radio analyst, Hans Olsen is back on the show. Hans, how are you?
Oh, I am better now being with two of my favorites, Dave and Spencer. You guys are incredible. You make my day. You bring a smile to my face. I love you both. Excited to be here with you.
We need more Hans in our lives.
That
Dave.
Just eliminated all our critical questions about you. And we're just going to move on. Thank you for that.
Why are you so ugly? Why don't you have a chin? I know. Who picks out your wardrobe? What? I know all the different things. Let's just jump all that.
Oh, you got it, brother. How are you feeling about the prospect of Skyline Chili in Cincinnati, Hans, since you're such a foodie?
I am over my skis about it. I've had Cincinnati chili, Skyline chili three times. I always do it three-way. I do the mustard, the onion, and I have them pile that cheddar high. But that Skyline chili with a little bit of a chocolate flavor, it's more of a mole than it is a chili. I mean, I could really get into it and dissect it. But you throw that on a couple of dogs with some steamed buns. A lot of people don't like it. I live for it. So it's going to be the first thing that I'm hitting when I get to Cincinnati.
All right, after dinner and your pregame meal, once it starts on Saturday night in primetime, what are your biggest concerns about this matchup?
I just don't have a ton of concerns. The only concern I'd have, Dave, is that BYU feels like they've made it, that they prepared like they've already made it, and that they're looking forward to a championship game and not Cincinnati. But they really eliminated those fears for me with what they did against TCU. TCU, they just showed up and they did work. So those fears are mostly eliminated. But as I break this game down, there just aren't many areas that Cincinnati is better than BYU. And I feel like BYU can put together a solid game plan to get this win.
Hans, from a personnel standpoint, Cincinnati brings back probably their best running back. They get a key receiver as well off of the injury report. They did not play in the last two losses against Utah and Arizona, but will play against BYU. How much will that help Cincinnati and potentially shift BYU's defensive game plan?
Well, BYU's got film on both, and you're right. Both are good. Pryor's really good. I like them both. But Tawi Walker's really good, and I think that they probably have a little bit of a position battle going on how they're going to distribute these reps coming into this game, because Tawi has been really good. He was even good against Arizona last weekend. So I think that it's going to jam up that running back room. I do think their receivers are good. I just don't think that Cincinnati is a throwing game team. I don't think that Shoresby really wants to sit in a pocket and just fire balls to receivers all day. So it's going to help them, but I don't think it's enough help to do what they need to do against BYU.
Let's talk about the psychological edge. BYU's coming off its most complete game of the year. Cincinnati's lost two in a row, and they had a bye in there too, so it's been almost a month since they have won a game. They're at home. Both teams are playing for something. Who's got the psychological edge?
Well, I think BYU's got the psychological edge, and I might feel different about that if it was a different performance against TCU, but BYU had their second and third stringers in by the end of the third. They took Jack Kelly out, I want to say middle of the third, end of the third, and you know they started rotating in their second and thirds through the fourth quarter. So they dominated TCU, and it just eliminated all those fears that this team might have a lapse. And you know, I'll bring this up too, Dave. In talking to Kalani Sitake and talking to Tanner Wall, and Spencer, you could probably answer this too, in those post-game shows, it just feels like they learned so much from 2024. The back-to-back loss, the letdown loss, letting one loss lead to another loss. Also, the crunch time in the final three games of a season and what you have to accomplish in order to get to the championship game. They've got experience, and Glasgow has that experience, and Kelly has that experience, and a couple of the offensive line, and Wade Onapuaho, even though he's out in this game, which breaks my heart, has that experience. LJ Martin has that experience. They've been here, and they understand what type of focus that it's going to take to get over this game. So I think that their experience really helps them. And with Cincinnati, I think they're reeling a bit. I wouldn't be surprised to see them come out and try something different. Especially offensively, because the last couple of games, Shoresby has been held to 30 yards or under in rushing, and both Utah and Arizona put together game plans to focus on him and take him out of a game. I think Cincinnati knows BYU is going to do that and is very capable of doing that. So we'll see what kind of concepts they come up with offensively. But if they come up status quo, I think BYU is going to torch him.
Hans Olsen is on BYU Sports Nation, KSL Sports Zone, BYU football radio analyst. Okay, Hans, let's play the hypothetical game a little bit, shall we? Let's say BYU does handle their business against Cincinnati and they win by, 7 to 10 points. What will a win like this do for BYU's national resume? Because I'm inclined to believe it might not do much based on what the committee has told us with the latest college football playoff rankings.
Bottom line, this committee doesn't like BYU for one reason or the other, and they're treating them poorly, and it's just miserable. It's a terrible deal because BYU's resume has been fantastic. This is a really tough conference, and BYU has put up multiple wins over Big 12 teams with winning records. You know, they're 5-1 against FBS teams with winning records, and they're 4-1 against FBS Power 4 teams with winning records. So they've put up enough to be recognized, and this committee just continues to hold them down, and I don't understand why. So that does make you really nervous, because you feel like any slip up, they're just looking for an opportunity to say, see, we told you they're just not good. And the problem is BYU is very good, and their resume is very good. Their strength of schedule, their road games, their road wins, just very good. Their numbers, all their statistical ratings, both offensively and defensively, excellent. And I feel like this committee is just waiting for them to mess up and not wanting to see BYU in that field of 12 And I'm really sick of it. I'm sick of how this is going. Because think about this now. BYU has compiled back-to-back years with, you know, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but should be double-digit wins and big-time plays, big-time games, big-time victories. And the committee doesn't want to hear about it. They don't want to see it. I mean, you got back-to-back years with this level of success, and they don't want to hear it.
The good news is BYU can just win their way in and get the last laugh. Three more wins, start Saturday, and then UCF. And then you just got to line up and beat Texas Tech in the Big 12 championship if you want to get into this upper echelon playoff. Then you force the committee to boot out one of their country club members. And in the end, BYU could get the last laugh so long as they win.
It would be a dream come true to see BYU open up the mouths of the committee and force feed them some Cougar Blue into that 12-game playoff. I would laugh myself to sleep. It would be one of the greatest things that we've seen from Cougar Nation. If BYU could get this done, just to be able to tell the committee, we don't even need your help. Right. Let us just, we'll just take care of our business. You guys can keep loving whoever you want, but BYU is just going to keep winning. And then you would just hope for a favorable matchup in the first round to even force feed them more. I just feel like they're being overlooked. And it's frustrating to me. You know, you think about it, BYU, they went on the road against Texas Tech, and they lost by 2 points less than the University of Utah did on their home field. You know, that's a tough road game. And by the way, they were with a 50%, 60% LJ Martin. They were without Jack Kelly for parts of the game, and Jack was dealing with some things. Isaiah Glasker was dealing with some things. You go -3 in that game in the turnover margin. You got dropped passes. Just some frustrating moments in that game. And your defense still shows up, holds them to 29 points. No team has done that. Like, that's a big-time feat by BYU to do it on their home field. So I look at it, I'm like, just give me the rematch. Give me the rematch. Let me see BYU with that preparation, having a little bit of time to rest, get their players back, and match up with this Texas Tech team. I think that it would be a much different game in that championship game.
Hans, you've talked about the mentality of BYU learning from last year, because to further that conversation, BYU at 9-1 had to go on the road and take on Arizona State. Granted, Arizona State was awesome late last season. BYU's 9-1. They're back on the road against a not as talented Cincinnati team, but still road game with everything on the line. So if you're a coach in that locker room and went through last year, what are you telling your team right now about the scenario in front of them?
I'm not going as far as the Tulane coach to say that we haven't done anything, and if we're in the top 25 or in the field of 12, then there's some really bad football going on in the country. That was a crazy comment. I mean, I'm not going that far, but Spencer, I am force feeding them some reality, and they're going to know where they stand. And they're going to understand that they have to achieve it all. Nobody's going to give them anything. And, you know, it does feel like there's a college football world out there wanting BYU to fail. And I would galvanize my locker room saying, us and Cougar Nation are the only ones that care. And we're the only ones that can make the difference. And we have to play our best football, our TCU-like football, against Cincinnati to get that win. And they're going to need to play that level of football to get that win. But they've shown that they're capable of it. They've shown that they are a tight-knit group. And we'll see if Kalani Sitake can have them prepared and ready for a big game. But I will tell you guys, the film, the numbers, it all shows that BYU will have the ability to run against this team. BYU should have the opportunity to put up 28-plus points. And I would be shocked if Cincinnati were able to put up 20 points against BYU's defense. I've got them on 20 minus, so 20 or less. That's the way the film shows. That's the way the numbers show, the stats. And as long as Kalani's got the minds right, in that locker room, what we should see is a sizable win. And BYU sending a message to the committee, sending the message nationally that you guys need to start respecting us and paying attention to us.
Hence, I believe, brother. I am on board. Let's go. Always nice to chat with you. Can't wait to hang out in Cincinnati as BYU takes on the Bearcats and further their path to what they hope is their first ever college football playoff entrance. Hans, be well, my friend.
See you on Saturday. Thanks, guys.
You got it. Thanks,
you got,
brother.
You got it, brother.
Here are the TV details and radio details for Saturday, BYU and Cincinnati. BYU Sports Nation game day, 6 o'clock Eastern time on BYU TV and ESPN+. Cougar pregame live, also at 6 Eastern on BYU Radio. The big game is at 8 Eastern primetime on Fox at BYU Radio. Postgame coverage right afterwards on BYU TV's app and BYU Radio. That's how we're rolling on Saturday.
There is no excuse to miss it.
No.
Plenty of options. Still on the way, BYU's updated injury report of ahead of Saturday's game at Cincinnati, and how about some more major recognition for head coach Kalani Sitake. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Dave McCann. Let's get to your headlines, sponsored by BYU Continuing Education, inspiring lifelong learning for Cougar fans everywhere.
Here's the injury report for BYU football on this Thursday. For Saturday's game against Cincinnati, Waylon Lapuaho out, Sione Moa still out, Max Alford out, that's new, Tommy Prassis still out, probables, Cody Hagan, that's a good development, and Marcus McKenzie's been out forever.
Okay.
Chance to get him back on special teams. Pre-game coverage for BYU Cincinnati begins Saturday at 6 on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
I don't like missing Waylon Lapuaho. No. He's super strong on that front. BYU football head coach Kalani Sitake named a semifinalist for the George Munger College Coach of the Year Award. Sitake has BYU at 9-1 for a second straight season and in the college football playoff conversation. Led BYU to back-to-back 8-0 starts for the first time in program history and is 20-3 over the past two seasons.
Last time BYU won at Cincinnati, its score was 20-3. Number 25 women's volleyball beat Arizona in four sets last night at the Smith Fieldhouse, which was rocking. How about Suli Davis, career high 28, tied her career high. She's phenomenal. With those kills, she sets the BYU rally scoring record for kills in a season by a freshman with 447. So got a bunch of games left. Up next, BYU hosts number 13, Kansas, on Friday.
BYU women's basketball remains unbeaten with a tough, gritty win at Montana, 70-69 in Missoula last night. The Cougars improved to 5-0 this season under first-year head coach Lee Kamart. And BYU won this game without Delaney Gibb, who was a late scratch due to a lower leg injury. She's listed as day-to-day. Mariah Hudgens had 23 points, a career high for the Cougars. Up next, BYU hosting Weber State in Provo on Saturday.
Kendall Kovic and Gracie Levelston of BYU women's tennis advanced to the NCAA doubles round of 16 with their win yesterday. They're the first BYU pairing to do it since 1993 when John Walsh was the quarterback. It's been a while. Kovic and Levelston back in action in the round of 16 tomorrow. We wish them the best.
Adam Choder and Otto Schreiner of BYU men's tennis lose in the opening round at the NCAA doubles national championships in Orlando. Choder and Schreiner dropped to North Carolina and their doubles pair 6-1, 6-2.
BYU swim and dive split between two meets this weekend and the competition starts today. Swim team in Greensboro, North Carolina at NC State Wolfpack Invitational, while the diving teams are in LA at the USC Invitational. And that soccer team leaving today for the NCAA tournament's battle with UCLA at Stanford tomorrow.
Let's go. What a weekend!
What a weekend.
Still on the way, Davin Thompson and Taven Kitchen, speaking of the weekend, from BYU Men's Cross Country. Join us live from Missouri ahead of Saturday's national championship race. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by BYU Continuing Education, inspiring lifelong learning for Cougar fans everywhere.
BYU Sports Nation continues live from Studio B, and it's time that we deliver on a promise we made earlier in the show, and that is to welcome in from BYU Men's Cross Country as they prepare for the NCAA National Championships. Their dynamic duo of Davin Thompson and Taven Kitchen. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, guys. How are both of you feeling this fine Thursday morning?
We're doing good. We're just ready for the big dance, getting ready, trying to stay calm.
Ready to go.
You guys both look calm, so nice job. You're succeeding at that. Now, you just went and did a run-through, right? Scouted the course. You've been on the course before earlier in the year, but as you did this one today, what kind of things did you notice about the track?
Yeah, it's super fast. So I think it's one of the faster nationals courses we've had in recent history, and super windy. But it's going to be really rainy tomorrow. Mm. So by Saturday, the course will be wet and soggy. So we're hoping it's really sloppy out there because we like bad conditions.
Okay. What type of dynamics make it a fast course per se?
Yeah, there's no steep hills. So it's up and down a lot, but it's really good footing, really gradual up and down hills, and just flat laps. So we got 4 laps to run.
Yeah, it's good. It's good surface to run on. Like the grass is really springy. So, last time we were here, I think that's still probably our fastest 8K of the year. So, it's a quick course.
So as you guys maneuver around there with your stretch wise on, everyone knows you're the defending national champions. They don't know that a lot of the team has graduated. They just see BYU and they see contenders. How much fun is that to represent such a stigma, a positive stigma of runners here?
It's super cool. I remember my freshman year, the first time I was traveling, the first few times, just pulling up with the Y on is like, it's super special. And you feel like bad to the bone because everyone knows who you are. And there's a legacy here and everyone knows about it. And I'm sure Taven's experienced that a lot this year for his first time.
Yeah, you definitely have like a different level of expectation from you being a runner at BYU. And everyone sees you and they know you're going to be good. If you're wearing that blue and repping the Y, then you're a good athlete and you're going to be a competitor.
Taven, you brought up that big word, expectations. And when you do have that national championship pedigree and are growing and learning, you're a little bit younger team this year, what are the expectations for BYU men's cross country at this year's race?
Yeah, so one of our team themes this year kind of goes back to like BYU basketball or basketball in general with the term blue bloods. They in basketball, they have the blue blood teams that are always, always good. So we are trying to embrace that this year, that no matter what guys we're putting on the starting line, we're going to be competitive. And we have the best coaches in the country, some of the best staff in the country, and the best runners in the country. So we're going to be competitive no matter what. But yeah, being a young team, it's definitely fun because we're flying under the radar a little bit more, even though we won nationals last year.
Another theme that we kind of had this year was good to great. We've been good for a while. We won the national title last year. We've been competitive. How can we be great? How can we build a legacy? How can we keep on winning, keep on podium, and you know, being a team that's always in the conversation. And so, yeah, the expectations for Saturday are big. We expect a lot from ourselves. I expect a lot from my teammates. And I think that if we go out there and execute, we'll be able to run definitely up there on the podium.
Team's been ranked in the top 10 all year. The women's team's been number one all year. They're the favorites to repeat as national champs. The men's side, there are a lot of really good teams that you're going to have to take down, even in the Big 12 now as you move to the national stage. So when this race starts, and it's the first couple of minutes, and the two of you are off and running, how do you stay focused mentally as opposed to just thinking, I just got to go as fast as I can right now and maybe lose a step or two in that mentality? How do you do that?
Yeah, there's a lot of chaos the first mile of the race because it's so fast and there's so many bodies around you. But we've been working a lot with our sports psychologist, Bobby Lowe, just to focus on what we can control and focus on our thoughts. So really focusing on being proactive with our thoughts and staying calm that first mile through the chaos. Finding each other.
Yeah, finding each other is a big thing. If we can find our teammates, then that's like another level of support that we have. We know that we can run with those people and we'll be a lot stronger if we're together. But another thing is, no matter what, in a race, the first 400, first 600 of the race is going to hurt really bad because you're going to get out hard and you might be 300, 400 in and telling yourself, I don't know if I can keep up or stay in this pack. But before you know it, it'll string out and it'll slow down and you'll get into a rhythm and it'll be a lot better. So you just need to stay mentally attached and mentally in it.
Davin Thompson and Taven Kitchen of BYU Men's Cross Country are on BYU Sports Nation. As you talk about how difficult that first part of the race will be and how much it will hurt, I can't help but think of the great Connor Mance, BYU legend, saying, I can suffer longer and better than everyone else. And it takes that type of mentality to be a national championship caliber team. Now, you mentioned the natural growth that has happened on this young team. So a question for both of you. But Davin, you as a veteran and Taven, you as a freshman, where have you seen this team grow the most from race number one to where you sit today? Taven, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I mean, I think as we're just training together and running races together more, the team is becoming closer and we work together better. I think in the beginning of the season, you'd rarely see like your teammates in the race and you'd just be fighting by yourself. But now like the whole race is surrounded, you're surrounded by teammates and you're working off each other. So I think one of the biggest areas we grew was becoming closer, becoming like brothers and working together more.
Yeah, one of the things that I'm most proud of with this team is we lost five guys from our team last year, and we had a lot of shoes to fill, and the guys just stepped in. Even if they had a rough career up to that point, the guys stepped in, and they trusted that they could contribute, and I'm really proud of the guys for doing that because it's a hard jump to make, but once the spots opened, they filled them. And we have a lot of good guys. Noah Jenkins, Taven, James, the Stanford twins, Max, like a lot of young guys, a lot of names that nobody's heard of that are going to run really well just because they stepped up when it mattered.
Let's go. We're sending you the BYU Sports Nation Karma from Studio B all the way out to Columbia, Missouri for the national championships. Best of luck to both of you as you continue to rep the Y like absolute champions.
Sweet. Thanks for having us, guys.
Good luck.
You got That's it. Awesome. Davin Thompson and Taven Kitchen, BYU Men's Cross Country. The women race at 10:20 a.m. Eastern, Dave. The men's race starts at approximately 11:10 a.m. Eastern time, all part of a huge Saturday.
It is a huge Saturday. If you miss any of our shows, interviews, deep blues, they're all waiting for you at BYUSN.com or download the BYU TV app. You know, your BYU Sports Nation content whenever you want.
Hey, we're not done yet. More responses to our question of the day. What are your biggest concerns for BYU football at Cincinnati? Plus a rising shout out to multiple elite performances from BYU's women's teams yesterday. That's on the way on BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by PAX, healthcare careers built for victory.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We're hanging out live in Studio B. He is the great Dave McCann. I am Spencer Linton. We still have some things to do, Dave.
Let's do it.
Including recapping our question of the day. What's your biggest concern for BYU football heading into Saturday's contest at Cincinnati? Dave, take it away.
All right. Johnny Linehan says, my mental health. I think whenever there's a punter in the end zone, Johnny has a hard time. But, hey, you're right. The hearts will be going all over Cougar Nation.
Totally fair comment from Johnny. And if you see his train of thought during a game, you'll understand why he writes
easy.
That.
Easy. One step at a time.
Our lead voice of the day presented by PAX, healthcare careers built for victory, from at Scott Packer 5, who says, being too worried about BYU's current college football playoff ranking. He says bowl ranking. Focus on Cincinnati. Can BYU dial it in for the Bearcats?
I think they can dial it in better than us. because we get to talk about it all the time.
It's true. Today's Rising Shoutouts presented by Mountain America, official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Great performances in women's sports. Yesterday, Suli Davis breaking BYU's rally era scoring freshman kill record, helping the Cougars beat Arizona. Delaney Gibb out. Mariah Hudgens, 23 points, 1-point win for the women's team at Montana. Kendall Kovic, Gracie Levinson moving on the round of 16 in doubles. Best of luck to them.
Man, that hasn't happened since 1993 for the women's tennis team. Our thanks to today's guests, Hans Olsen, Davin Thompson, and Taven Kitchen. For Dave McCann, I'm Spencer Linton. Final shout out to Jonah Trinneman. Hey, he beat Cincinnati. Go Cougs!